Hey, this is Laura from Chat 360. Welcome to my new segment. You know, pretty much all of us know that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, but I'm sure that, like myself, you didn't know that October is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month as well. It's a time to honor and remember people who have experienced pregnancy or infant loss and to provide for them a safe space to share their stories and their experiences. And I have a special guest with me today to talk about this important topic, Caitlin Watkins Purcell, who will share her own pregnancy loss story. Now, she has two children. She has a third on the way and expected in December. And she did experience a pregnancy loss at 33 weeks. Good morning, Caitlin.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no, thank you for being here. I know this is a tough subject, but it is something that I really think we need to share with our listeners. So can you please, for me, define pregnancy loss?
So pregnancy loss is any time the pregnancy doesn't come full term. It could be a miscarriage that happens usually 20 weeks and before, and then after 20 weeks, I believe it's considered pregnancy loss.
Okay.
An infant loss.
I know there are some various reasons why this can happen. From what I understand, miscarriage is the most common reason for losing a baby during pregnancy. And according to the March of Dimes, they indicate that there's a miscarriage rate of 10 to 25% in women who knew that they were pregnant. Generally, it's an infant who passes away before 28 weeks of pregnancy is referred to as a miscarriage. Babies who pass away at or after 28 weeks are called stillbirths.
Correct.
Okay.
Which is what I experienced, a stillbirth. I did experience a miscarriage in 2019. I was about 11 weeks at the time, but my stillbirth was at 33 weeks.
Now, you have two children already.
Correct.
And where did the miscarriage the first time place? Was it among those other children that you already have?
It was in between.
In between. Okay. And at that time, were you told that there was a risk then of becoming pregnant again?
They said, you know, it's possible, but the risk of miscarriage is always, I believe, increased for someone who has already experienced a miscarriage prior. And then as you get older, the risk increases as well.
And they say especially after 30, and it's the highest after age 40. Okay, do you mind me asking you how old you were?
I am. Oh, at the miscarriage?
Yes.
I was 35.
Okay. So women who have already had a miscarriage are also at higher risk for this. There are some health conditions also, I understand, that can increase the risk of miscarriage. That's diabetes, high blood pressure, lupus, kidney disease, thyroid disease, and obesity. Now, I do not have children of my own. I was a teacher, so I enjoyed and loved having children around me. And the thought of losing a child, very traumatic for women. So how did the doctors at the Independence Health System talk you through this, or how do they support you at this time?
They're very, very supportive, especially with Evelyn, who was my stillborn. I was 38 at the time, so they were already kind of doing extra testing because it's considered advanced maternal age after the age of 35.
Okay.
So they were doing extra testing, and everything was going fine. Had a normal pregnancy. I was healthy. The baby was healthy. And, you know, when the stillbirth happened, when she passed in utero, you know, they checked for a heartbeat because that was one of the symptoms. I didn't feel any movement at the time. So they took me into the emergency room. Not the emergency room, I'm sorry. They just kind of put me up in the labor and delivery, hooked me up to the sonogram machine, was looking for a heartbeat, and as sensitive as they could, told me that our baby had passed and there was no longer a heartbeat. And the care that we received at the hospital was amazing. They were so sensitive. They were so comforting. They were very helpful. They were very gentle. They know how difficult of a situation this is. You lose your baby, but you still need to deliver the baby.
Yes.
They just, anything we needed, they were there before, during, and after. They made me feel as comfortable as I could. It was actually during not the height of COVID, but COVID was still pretty rampant at the time. And they were only allowing one support person with the patient at a time, which of course was my husband. Mm-hmm. But because of this situation, we asked if we could have our parents come up to grieve with us. And we also asked if our reverend could come up and baptize the baby, which they were absolutely, we're going to make it happen, you know, whatever you need.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Right. Now, they have a Family Additions Maternity Center at Independence Westmoreland Hospital, and their goal is to offer support to women who have experienced pregnancy loss. Mm-hmm. And did you work with Dr. Turkowitz?
At the time of the stillbirth, no. I dealt with a couple different doctors. She was in that group at the time, but her and I recently have been working together. Okay. On the pregnancy loss awareness and just kind of bringing to light the situation and making resources available to those that are going to go through this situation if they know that, you know, the inevitable's going to happen or if they have gone through it in the past, offer resources of comfort and a place to grieve.
And that's very important. Mm-hmm. You don't want to feel that you're alone.
Exactly.
And every time you have something like this that happens of this magnitude in your life, I think we tend to feel isolated. Mm-hmm. So now there are some things that they do, and this is very interesting, memory boxes.
Yes.
They include footprints, bracelets, any clothing the baby wore, an SD card with pictures that have been taken of the family and the baby. There's a memory book. There's a teddy bear. So tell me a little bit more about these memory boxes.
They are a godsend. I couldn't imagine going through the grieving process without it. At the time, you don't know. You just kind of go with the flow of what's happening and what the hospital's guiding you with. Mm-hmm. You don't know what to expect. You don't know what you're supposed to get, what you're supposed to do. And at the time, you know, we didn't really think about, okay, well, we just lost our daughter. Now we have to actually find a place to bury her. We have to get ourselves some burial plots. And, you know, they helped us talk through that a little bit. And before we went home, they gave us a teddy bear that was in the bassinet with our daughter. So it's something that was with
her
and
yes.
Touching her, right? Clothing that was donated to the hospital when women come in and have a birth unexpectedly or have a stillbirth or whatever the case may be, they're not prepared. There is a donation of clothing and blankets and hats and swaddles that they can give to these newborns. So we had some outfits and blankets, a knitted hat that was crocheted by a local knitting group that they donate. They put those into the memory box. They also had a clay mold handprint of her hand. Mm-hmm. We did receive pictures, the footprints, locks of her hair. We have a little pillow that her head laid on. Mm-hmm. So those are things that I think about and look at all the time. And my son was 10 at the time, and he grieved as well. You know,
he
knew that this little sister was coming and unfortunately wasn't going to be able to meet her and grow with her and age together, grow up together, play together. Mm-hmm. So I was actually able to find the exact same teddy bear. And so we have the same teddy bear that we both use for comfort and just helping us cope with the loss. And
that's
amazing.
Wonderful. That's mm-hmm. wonderful. So the support you've received, you feel that it's been invaluable,
sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, have you created something special then in Evie's memory?
Yes. Yes. It's still kind of in the beginning stages. I've never done anything like this before, but I knew that what we received from the hospital was invaluable, and I never want that to go away. I never want it to run out. I never want there to be empty donation box that they don't have something to give to these families who are going through this situation. So I created Evie's Teddies, and at first, it's just a name that I came up with. Evie was going to be her nickname, and the teddy because of the teddy bear that we received. So I just created a social media post after we were home settled and kind of back in our routine and asked for donations of teddy bears, new with tags. And the response that I received was amazing. We got a lot of teddy bears. We took them up to the hospital, and the hospital was so gracious and appreciative of the donation that we were able to make in light of our situation, having just gone through this. And that's something that I want to keep going. But obviously, I don't want to overwhelm the hospital with a bunch of stuffed animals. So we also made it an option to make a monetary donation where they could purchase items that they need to give to these families, whether it's a stuffed animal or the memory boxes, items to put in the memory boxes. And it can even go as far as offering counseling services to help families grieve if they don't have means for it, which I believe they work with the Pittsburgh Bereavement Doulas.
Okay.
So they help and come in and talk with the families as well. There's a place to donate on their website. If you go to the Independence Health System website, search for foundation, there will be a link.
The Westmoreland Frick Foundation, right?
Yes, the Westmoreland Frick Foundation.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a link to donate, and you just choose from the drop-down box. I believe it's pregnancy and infant loss.
Pregnancy, newborn loss is that category, right?
Yes.
So Evie's Teddies, then, is more than teddy bears.
Yes.
In her memory.
Mm-hmm.
It is comfort for women who are going through the same thing that you went through.
Exactly.
And teddy bears can be part of that, but it also can be donations for other things that are needed for the families.
Exactly.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. What an amazing way to honor your daughter.
Yes.
So again, I want to let my listeners know, you can visit the Independence Health System website, search foundations, then you select the Westmoreland Frick Foundation to give. From the drop-down menu, select pregnancy, newborn, loss as the category to direct your gift. And you can also learn more about the Family Additions Maternity Center on the Independence Health System website. They deliver more than 1,200 babies each year at the Family Additions Maternity Center, and they've been recognized for the care that they provide to their patients, and their goal is to support their families in their joy and in their sorrow. I guess recently they did have a commemorative event that was October the 5th at Frick Hospital, and they had a butterfly bush planting, I believe. They have a healing garden at Frick Hospital that has a commemorative area that was initiated years ago by the Compassionate Friends, and that helps to acknowledge the loss of a child. So the planting of that butterfly bush was a natural extension of that. Were you at that event?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
They invited me to come and speak if I felt comfortable doing so, which I did. And it was a beautiful day. A lot of my family members came to support us. And I met with couples that experienced loss of their own. And there was a couple there that actually experienced the same situation that we did, 33 weeks, had a stillbirth. And the reason for the stillbirth in both of our cases was the umbilical cord was wrapped around the baby's neck, unfortunately. So other than that, the babies would have been totally fine had they been born early, been in the NICU and all that. So it was nice to connect with other families who have been in that situation. And the hospital is doing an amazing job opening this opportunity to have a place for families to come and grieve and have the resources to talk with other families. We exchanged information, so we're going to keep in touch.
So you have a support group now?
Yes.
So not just the hospital, but you've had a chance to meet other people going through the same situation, which I'm sure is invaluable to you and your family. So you have really made people more aware. I don't think we're at the point we need to be yet with this.
Correct.
This is, and I hate to say this, the first time that I've heard that October is Pregnancy and Infant Loss Awareness Month. So what else do you think we need to do to bring this to light in our communities?
I think just make more people aware that it happens a lot more often than you think. And I think the big reason why a lot of people don't know about it is, one, the families who are going through the situation feel like they're going to make other people feel uncomfortable talking about what happened. I don't want that to be the case. I want them to speak their story, speak their child's name. Their child is exactly that. Their child. It's not something that just goes away. It's something and someone that's with you forever. And the other case is, if someone knows that you went through a loss, they don't want to make you feel uncomfortable talking through the traumatic experience that you had. So they just choose not to talk about it. So I think if we all just, you know, open up our minds and our hearts and talk to one another, it would be more
cathartic.
Yes.
Really.
Yes. I did create an Evie's Teddies Instagram account to kind of start that process for myself. For those that don't know the story or don't know about Evie's Teddies, I just want to make it more known, more public.
Yes.
And offer a place for other women, other dads, other mothers to have someone to talk to.
That's wonderful. And you know, I have to say, I was a little bit daunted by the thought of talking with you today mm-hmm. because it is an uncomfortable topic. Mm-hmm. It's a sad topic.
Yes.
And as a woman, I can't imagine the strength that it takes to get through mm-hmm. what you experienced. Mm-hmm. But as I'm talking with you, I am finding, you know, it's okay to talk about it. It's okay to feel sad about it.
Right.
As long as we share those experiences and make other people see, number one, what's going on, number two, how you feel, and number three, how you can work through it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's one of the things, the problems that we have is when we don't communicate or express ourselves, that's where the mental
yes.
health issues come in.
Exactly.
So having other people in a society, in a community that know what happened, that are keeping, you're keeping the name of Evie alive. You're
mm-hmm.
keeping her alive.
Yes.
Because she counts.
Yes.
And you are a crusader for that.
Oh, thank you.
And I really appreciate that. And
yes.
Now tell me about this little one that you are evidently
yes.
pregnant, very pregnant, and due in December. What's
yes.
early December, late December?
My real due date is December 15th, but again, because of advanced maternal age, now that I'm 40, they are going to take me a week early. I believe what I've been told is studies have shown that there's really no added benefit to keep the baby in for the full 40 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
At 39, it's safe to go in and induce labor.
Okay.
So that is the plan, and it is another girl. So I have Landon, who's turning 13 in December.
Okay.
And he's very worried about sharing a birthday. I
tell
tried,
him it'll be twice as nice.
I tried to tell him, you know, buddy, I don't think you're going to be sharing any birthday parties. I don't think your newborn sister is going to want to go to a trampoline park. So don't worry about that. And then we have Eliana, who is 2.5. And I've never had two children that are that close in age. Landon is an amazing helper. I'm very blessed that he's
a good
age.
Big brother.
Exactly. He loves his little sister, and he's very excited for this other little sister to join. And I'm excited to see how Eliana will be with, you know, the little sister. She loves baby dolls.
Yes.
You know, I just hope she kind of takes care of the baby more than she does with her baby dolls, picking them up by the head. but she understands. She knows about Evelyn. We talk to her about Evelyn. We take her to her gravesite and explain, you know, this is your sissy in heaven. And we have a book about heaven. And we always talk about, you know, she's your angel sister in heaven. So she knows of Evelyn. She says her name. And she knows that she has a sissy in mommy's belly that's coming in December. So
wonderful.
Yeah.
So everything is very above board and very clear.
Mm-hmm.
And you're sharing your experiences, not only with the community, but with your own children.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this, that it is not a horrible secret.
Right.
It's not
exactly.
something that we're ashamed of,
mm-hmm.
that we're hiding.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, just the opposite. We need to bring it to light.
Exactly.
So I really, really appreciate you coming today. I wish you the most blessings I could wish for your new little one that
thank
is
you.
Coming and for your family that you already have.
Thank you.
And thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you so much for giving me this opportunity.
No, oh, my pleasure. This conversation started out as a little awkward for me personally because I was trying to tread very carefully around this subject, and it is a very touchy subject, but I learned so much by talking with Caitlin, and I'm so glad she was able to join me. I hope that if you are listening to this podcast and perhaps you've experienced infancy or pregnancy loss, that you will find some comfort and some hope. Don't forget to visit the Independence Health System website for the Family Additions Maternity Center for support and resources. I'll see you again soon.